we're going from DC to the economic recovery, because we know a lot of the things that lawmakers are pushing down in DC is aimed to speed up the recovery. But we want to take a look at where supply chain constraints stand right now, because we know this has been a massive challenge in the recovery over the last several months. But Bank of America is out with a new note saying that the sentiment on inventory is that it has improved just a bit. So joining us now on the phone is TJ Thornton. He is Bank of America's Global Research Head of Research Marketing and Predictive Analytics. And TJ, it seems like sentiment is improving a bit from this note that you just put out. What makes you more optimistic?
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. And yeah, what we did was we looked at thousands of research analyst notes, and we assessed sentiment around supply chain and inventories. And what we found is that sentiment's still pretty poor, but there has been some improvement off of the lows. And obviously, the market tends to focus on these rates of change. And so, you know, that's a positive thing. Of course, there's the Delta story as well, which is another thing we highlighted in the note, and that remains a risk.
Well, we talk about Delta quite a bit, and it may weigh on sentiment, but what's the reality? I mean, when we look at, you want to get a new couch, and we all know the horror stories about people who've had to wait almost a year to get their couch. Is the reality that the supply chain bottlenecks have eased up, or are they still very tight?
Yeah, I think there really had been some nice easing in the summer. Things got really bad, and we've got some nice charts in the piece that show that. Things got pretty bad in sort of the April-May timeframe. And then in the summer, things began to improve. And I think, you know, the other thing that happened over the last several months is that we did see a bit of a demand slowdown. Obviously, demand was really strong for a lot of these consumer products, especially around stimulus. That faded a bit. So that combination of things normalizing on the supply side, as well as a bit less demand, meant that the supply chain seemed to get a little bit better. And then you saw a pickup, and it really started to pick up in the beginning of August, which is when we started to see this big uptick in Delta cases. And so, you know, I think it's very much related. And there was another study that we did in that piece, which looked at Delta specifically or COVID, and how those terms were associated with mentions of factory closures. And you certainly saw a big uptick there, and that coincided with this, with a more stories around shortages in the news. But again, if you think about analyst reports, and analysts should be more forward-looking often than the news, no offense, but they're looking at both what happened in the past and what should happen in the future, and you know, their sentiment, incorporating some of what they think will happen in the future, has been improving, as mentioned.
TJ, I guess try to quantify this for us. If we do see the supply that you're talking about in supply chains, how substantially do you think that could help GDP going forward, at least in the third quarter, maybe even into the fourth?
Yeah, so it's a very good question. And actually last week, Michelle Meyer, the U.S. economist, did cut her 3Q U.S. GDP estimates, and we're now actually a bit below consensus. That was following the consumer spending number that came out. However, we are looking for an improvement in 4Q. We have 6% growth again in 4Q and another 6% growth in 1Q. And one of the reasons why we see GDP improving is because of this inventory situation, because inventories will be, they were a pretty big drag in 3Q, and they have been in the last several quarters. But then in 4Q, they're not really a drag at all, because we're not assuming that inventories draw down more. And then in 1Q, we start to see some improvements. So it's important for the GDP story. It's also important for, of course, the pricing story, because all these shortages have meant higher prices in many cases. And so, you know, that I think adds to this narrative around, you know, how much of this is indeed temporary. If we're at the worst of the shortages and shortages get less bad, that I think helps that story, which suggests that, in fact, you know, a lot of these are temporary.
TJ, you also quoted Ethan Harris pointing out that price increases we may shift away from price increases as the shortages ease up in favor of economic activity. But does that mean that prices would go back to where they might have been before the shortages took place?
Not necessarily. I mean, we definitely are looking for a lot of these prices to persist. I mean, there's a component of the higher prices that we're seeing now that's temporary. But we do believe that even when this temporary component comes off, and obviously used cars would be a very good example of that. Used cars actually, you know, would have been a great investment, better than a lot of stocks over the past several months. But that's not normal. And, you know, that's a good example of a very temporary price increase. Not that they're necessarily going back to where they were in 2019, but so, yes, some of these temporary prices will come off, but you will see somewhat higher persistent prices as well, because you do have a lot of demand and there's still a lot of recovery ahead. I mean, again, you'll get more production as some of these supply chain issues resolve themselves. There's still a lot of people who will be going back to work, hopefully. That should add to the demand picture as well. And you know, services industry, of course, is still well off where it was in 2019. So that's another area.
TJ, real quick, another thing that you did point out in your note, that falling inventories actually benefited banks and transports back in 2018. But you point out that it could be different this time around. How so?
Yeah, so, I mean, every cycle is different. And you know, I think it's important to think about what happened and how much some of these, say, carriers, freight carriers, have benefited from a very tight supply chain and what has been very strong pricing. And of course, you know, a lot of that pricing does fall down to margins. So if pricing comes off, that's problematic. However, you know, Ken Hoexter, who's our transport analyst, did point out that the market's really thinking already that we've seen peak cycle, and the market has already started to derate some of these transport stocks that he likes. And so while it's true that maybe the pricing won't be quite as good if you look ahead a year as where it is now, his view is that for some of these stocks, at least, it is already priced in. And on the bank question, you know, that's another group that for the last sort of 4 to 6 months has really sort of treaded water. Because rates obviously have come down and people have been concerned about the economic recovery. But, you know, that's one where if rates go up because of a sort of post-Delta recovery, that is a positive. And then also they tend to benefit when you see a build in inventories, which we have not been able to do because of such tight supply chain. So loan demand has really been disappointing, or at least has lagged. And that's something that could come back as these inventories start to rise again.
TJ Thornton, great to speak with you. Bank of America's Global Research Head of Research, Marketing, and Predictive Analytics. We hope to talk with you again soon.